August 14, 1906. The Law of God Still in Force. Ellen G. White. Christ warns his followers, "Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." He exhorts us not to be deceived when false shepherds present their doctrines. These men tell us that the commandments of God were done away at the death of Christ. Shall we believe them, these men who claim to be sanctified, while they refuse to obey God? They say the Lord has told them that they need not keep the Ten Commandments. But has the Lord told them this? No, God does not lie. Satan, who is the father of lies, deceived Adam in a similar way, telling him that he need not obey God, that he would not die if he transgressed the law. But Adam fell, and by his sin he opened the floodgates of woe upon our world. Again, Satan told Cain that he need not follow expressly the command of God in presenting the slain lamb as an offering. Cain obeyed the voice of the deceiver, and because God did not accept his offering, while he showed his approval of Abel's offering, Cain rose up in anger and slew his brother. We need to know for ourselves what voice we are heeding, whether it is the voice of the true and living God or the voice of the great apostate. Eternal life is of value to each of us, and we must take heed how we hear. We need sound doctrine, pure faith. We cannot afford to receive the sayings of men for the commandments of God. God declares, "If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes." John gives the definition of sin. "Whosoever committeth sin," he says, "transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." And this was after the crucifixion of Christ, when, we are told, the law was abolished. When type met antitype in the death of Christ, the sacrificial offerings ceased. The ceremonial law was done away. But by the crucifixion, the law of 10 commandments was established. The gospel has not abrogated the law, nor detracted one tittle from its claims. It still demands holiness in every part. It is the echo of God's own voice, giving to every soul the invitation, "Come up higher, be holy, holier still." This just and holy law is the standard by which all will be judged in the last day. We need to ask ourselves the question, are we making void the law of God, or are we standing in vindication of it? We should carefully examine our thoughts and words. The law has no power to pardon transgression. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ must be exercised. As the sinner looks into this divine mirror, he will see the exceeding sinfulness of sin and will be driven to Christ. Godly sorrow will result from a realization of his frailty and depravity. His faith in the atoning sacrifice will be based on the sacred promise of full and complete pardon in Christ. But everyone who has this hope of pardon through Christ must purify himself, even as he is pure. His life thenceforth must be governed by a new principle. The influence of a gospel hope will not lead the sinner to look upon the salvation of Christ as a matter of free grace while he continues to live in transgression of the law of God. Let us earnestly inquire, what is truth? We cannot afford to build on a sandy foundation. The doctrines revealed in the Word of God are to be the foundation of our faith. It is of the utmost importance that we understand, as far as God has given us capacity for understanding, the principles upon which His government rests. For the principles which we believe and receive into the heart will govern and control the actions. The more clear the understanding of the truth which is in Jesus, the more spiritual will be the religious life, the more holy the affections.